Karima Brown on 702.
25 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show, and you're, of course, listening to 702. Now, many are joining the call for the South African government to intervene in the Zimbabwe crisis, saying South Africa cannot continue to remain silent on the tense situation there. We have so far heard conflicting views from the Ministry of Finance in this regard. For instance, the spokesperson for the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Jabulani Sikakani, revealed that South Africa has turned down a request from Zimbabwe for a 16.7 billion rand loan in December. Meanwhile, the Daily Maverick had reported that our finance minister, Tito Mboweni, had stated that South Africa is planning to extend a short-term credit to Zimbabwe and also help to write off some of its external debt. We attempted to get clarity from the minister in this regard. However, we were told that they've decided not to speak on the matter for now. And I must also say that when Mr. Lesetsha Kganyago from the Reserve Bank announced the fact that interest rates were going to remain the same, he indicated that there were actually engagements on the matter, but referred us to the political principle. So we're very disappointed that the Treasury on such an important matter is apparently saying different things and that there's no clarity. The spokesperson literally contradicting his own minister on whether or not we are going to be extending assistance to Zimbabwe. And more importantly, if we are doing so, what the conditionalities of it should be. Well, Shannon Ibrahim, the foreign editor at Independent Media, is among those calling for South Africa's intervention. She argues in her piece that the economic meltdown in our northern neighbor poses a serious threat to our national interest. If Zimbabweans are unable to survive, it is to South Africa they will turn. And she asks, how will we absorb thousands of new economic migrants with our current levels of unemployment and overstretched social services? She now joins me on the line. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, when you were writing this opinion piece, did you also attempt to get clarity from the Treasury on what exactly it is going to do? Because we have Mrs. Sikakani saying one thing, we have the minister saying another, and when we asked them for clarity to come onto the show, they refused to speak with us.
At the time, hi, good evening, Karima, and to your listeners. At the time I wrote that, I had actually found out that we had said no, we could not afford to extend that type of a loan to Zimbabwe. And we know that's true because of our need for energy and our own needs here in South Africa. But it doesn't surprise me if we may be giving some kind of a short-term credit. And it is probable that, you know, perhaps they don't want to make that amount public at the moment because Zimbabwe is in such a bad situation. And it's clear from what our president said today from Davos is that we are going to do everything we can to get sanctions lifted from Zimbabwe, that we need to be able to open up the chance for money to pour into the country. And so I was just actually listening to the Zimbabwean finance minister, Mr. Ngube, saying that Zim needs $1.8 billion, that's what it's owing in arrears, and it desperately needs that money to come in. And from what I understand, they can't access any type of financial aid from other countries until they start paying these loans down. So I think that's the urgency. And perhaps South Africa would like to be seen to be doing something given the crisis on the ground in the country, which is really quite devastating.
Now, obviously, the Zimbabwean government had abandoned the Zim dollar in 2009 after inflation reached 5 billion percent the year before. Rands and dollars were then supplied. But by 2016, the government started issuing bond notes that were pegged to 3 bond notes to the US dollar. The system of government borrowing via treasury bills was always problematic, as the government should never have created money without backing of gold or currency reserves. Now, many are arguing that Mnangagwa essentially went to Russia to try and get some foreign currency. That is the big problem here. We know that South Africa has its own difficult situation, In fact, let's just quickly take a listen to Lindiwe Zulu. She's historically been the liaison with the Zimbabwean government. Talk about the fact that the government is monitoring the situation, after which I will talk, of course, more about its currency crisis at the moment.
In terms of sanctions against Zimbabwe, for those who've been on the agenda and on what South Africa has been doing as far as Zimbabwe is concerned, is as old as when we had a facilitation team that was in Zimbabwe that was requested to travel from the US to the UK to the EU, finally, where we have been calling for the lifting of the sanctions in Zimbabwe. And actually, we thought that after the elections, despite the challenges that came immediately after that with the deaths of some people, we thought that those that had imposed the sanctions on Zimbabwe would look at Zimbabwe differently, particularly because SADC and the AU itself had indicated and had sent people to monitor the elections, including the African National Congress. However, the issue of sanctions, they were imposed by those who imposed them. We will continue to engage with them to say if we want Zimbabwe to really recover, it's a bigger and fuller package, not just a package of what South Africa is developing, working together with other government departments. It's also about how the Western countries in particular who impose those sanctions respond to our request.
That is, of course, Lindiwe Zulu. She's the Minister for Small Business Development, but historically has been the liaison of former President Zuma on the matter. Shannon Ibrahim, do you share the sentiments of Lindiwe Zulu?
I do think that given the financial crisis in Zimbabwe and the fact that prices have just, you know, escalated to completely unaffordable levels, it's very difficult to get basic necessities and fuel just skyrocketing. In these conditions, what is necessary, because there are no dollars left in Zimbabwe, there has to be a way to get money into the economy. Otherwise, we're going to see a complete and utter meltdown. So I do think now is the time perhaps to lift sanctions in order to give a bit of relief to the economy of Zimbabwe. But at the same time, I suppose the Western countries are looking at the fact, well, they probably also have their own agenda in terms of perhaps wanting to see the opposition coming into power. But we have the Halima Commission that was, the report was out in December looking at the killings with live ammunition of the police in Zimbabwe that happened on August 1st. And that, you know, basically that these people needed to be brought to book, and nothing has happened to those people. And now what we've seen has probably been the worst type of security violence committed by the security forces than we've ever seen, well, in decades probably. And this, the reports and pictures just keep coming out as to the beatings and the mutilation of bodies and the killings. And there, and it's very good that Emmerson Mnangagwa is back in the country, and he says that he was quite scathing about the security forces. Those who did wrong would be held to book. But it's okay to say that, but is he really going to hold them to account this time? Is there going to be some type of reform of the security sector? And I think if there was some action taken on that, that would give, you know, the people calling for the lifting of sanctions greater credibility, and perhaps people would take them more seriously.
Now, the discussions have also gone to SADC. And there's been a call, of course, for a dialogue. The regime has just answered the kind of protests and unhappiness of people with a crackdown. We know there's a tension between the military and Mnangagwa, and of course the factional fighting in ZANU-PF is not helping, and the disorganization of the opposition in Zimbabwe is not helping. How much does that constrain us from actually, you know, genuinely coming up with a plan that the Zimbabweans will buy into? And I mean, surely we can't just give them money without any conditionalities.
I think, the sense that I get is that South Africa would like to try and assist in bringing people together in Zimbabwe and also finding a political solution to, the problem. Because it's fine to say we need economic recovery, but the economic recovery is largely held hostage to the political dynamics and the endemic corruption and the predatory behavior of many of the elites in Zimbabwe. So it would be good if we actually, did get more involved in trying to create basically an atmosphere more conducive to civil society involvement, more inclusive of the opposition, civil society, and that there could be a national dialogue. So the President Mnangagwa said today that there should be a national dialogue. This perhaps gives us an entry point to say, perhaps we could assist in bringing people together. But basically, we can have a national dialogue, but if you're going to continue to have the militarization of politics, where you have soldiers being deployed on the streets more than you have the police, that's really a problem. And I think Zimbabweans, especially the youth, there is unprecedented levels of revolt that we've never seen by the youth before. And this is quite interesting that people even derailed trains, they burnt buildings and cars. And I think they're just fed up. People can't live anymore. There's no jobs. It's impossible to find money. You can't even move from one place to the other. So I think it's basically reached a tipping point.
Thank you very much. That is, of course, Shannon Ibrahim, the foreign editor at Independent Media, speaking to us today about the situation in Zimbabwe. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get comment from the presidency on the fact that he's just signed into law the bill that is going to make party funding a lot more transparent. And this is, of course, one of the major reforms that we require for having our politics more transparent, but also to assist us in preventing state capture.